Welcome to Season 2 of Homeschool Talk with HCS. That's Heritage Christian School in San Diego, a private Christian home education umbrella program, or PSP, serving homeschooling families nationwide since 1988. I am the show producer, Lilia Sepulveda. Now please welcome your host, HCS principal, and 29-year seasoned homeschool mom, Vicki Stermoen.
Hello and welcome, Heritage homeschooling families. I wanted to start this episode by saying congratulations. We have hit the halfway mark. The first semester is now over and we are gearing up for a great second semester. It's sometimes around now or maybe a month from now that the thought of going strong for a whole other semester can be a little deflating or perhaps a little overwhelming. That is a perfectly natural feeling that no matter what year of homeschooling you're in is something we can all relate to. So how you can stay motivated and gear up for a successful second semester will be the question and focus of this podcast. In addressing this question of finding motivation and strategies to finish out a whole other semester, I wanted to tackle it on two different levels. So first, kind of a vision outlook perspective, but then also some practical things that maybe you can try and implement that will help bring some excitement to your second semester. So to start, now's a great time to do some self-reflection of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Homeschooling isn't the easiest thing you're ever going to do in your life. There are a lot of moving parts and a lot of challenges that can pop up along the way that can zap the enthusiasm you once had when you dreamily created a probably unrealistic expectation about how this was all going to play out on a day-to-day basis. And that's why I always stress in our annual Pillars event, when we talk about homeschooling 101 kinds of things, that you really need to start not with the how, but with the why. It's the why you're homeschooling, not the how, that keeps you going through the year. It's the why that anchors you and gives you the bigger picture that enables you to homeschool in spite of how you feel or in spite of your lack of enthusiasm for opening up that teacher's manual and plugging through the next lesson. And it's that why that can best be codified in a written mission or vision statement. So in our family, we don't have like an actual statement. As you would think of a traditional vision statement, we have an alliteration. So our vision statement, I guess you could say, is simply referred to in our family as the three F's, family, faith, and fences. And I'll quickly summarize what the intent behind each of those categories is. So the first F is family. When you homeschool, you spend an incredible amount of time together as a family. When dad and or mom go off to work for 8 hours a day and the kids go off to school for 6 hours a day, there's an obvious logistical barrier to spending any of that time together. But when everyone gets home, even in that scenario, there's homework to be done, hanging out with friends, extracurricular activities, church activities. There's simply a lot to do, and a lot of that of what you have to do does not include family time. So all of that changes when you start homeschooling, and something happens when a family starts spending more intentional time together. The bond you can build with 15 hours together versus 4 hours together is noticeable, substantial, and life-changing. The idea that the quality of time can compensate for the quantity of time may work in some settings, but it's definitely not the norm. Relationships take time to build. The relationship you can build with a child that you spend all day with and the relationships that the siblings can build when they're spending all day together is radically different from the relationships that have, at best, a couple hours at night to work with. And we wanted those kind of intentional relationships with our kids. And we wanted our kids to have impactful sibling relationships that the homeschool paradigm allows. So that was our first F, family. The second F is faith. The passing on of our faith was the whole reason we had kids, literally. We have a mission field in our living room, and we very much see it that way. We want to raise a godly seed who are sold out for Christ and who we can shoot as arrows out of our quiver to be spiritually grounded and fruitful where they land. And let me tell you, that is a process, and it is gradual. And in a world that opposes you in every sphere of life, it is a constant time-consuming effort. It's not an hour in Sunday school and hoping that sticks. It's incorporating the Word of God in every subject, in our everyday conversations, in our times of family worship, in our discussion of current events, in our discussion of friends and peer influencers. It is literally talking about God as they rise up, as they lie down, as they sit, as they stand, or as they're walking along the way. Kind of sounds biblical, doesn't it? We see that as our primary calling as parents. We saw the homeschooling paradigm as the best educational option out there that allows us to meet that calling. And then finally for us, the last F was fences. And by fences, I'm referring to the safeguards that we put around our children until such a time as their individual personality, age, and maturity calls for a widening of the fence. Our children will need to go out and live in the real world and face real world challenges and have real world conversations. But we don't expect them to have the tools or the maturity to be able to meet those challenges and temptations at 2. Nor, frankly, do we expect them to be ready at 5. In some cases, with some of our kids, they weren't ready to be exposed to those certain philosophies and discussions well into their teens. For others, it was much sooner. But until each child has a firm foundation and understanding of what God has to say about the secular culture that we live in, we build a fence around it. We protect them from the devil's lies about eating that forbidden fruit until we have some measure of confidence they're spiritually grounded and ready for it. What we kept seeing was that in an effort to have our children go out and evangelize the lost, many were unintentionally confronted with temptations they had neither the maturity nor the tools to combat. And we didn't want that for our kids. And again, we saw homeschooling as providing a lifestyle that enabled us to be the determiners of what and when gets through the fence for each kid. So that's the Stormo and why for homeschooling. It's family faith fences. It's short, it's 3 words, but it encapsulates why we're still doing this 29 years later. And on the days when I don't feel like doing school anymore, and 29 years, this is so long, I'm kind of tired. I have something to go back to that's tangible. This is why I'm doing this. Yes, I'm tired, but I still very much believe in family faith fences as the reason we're doing this and as homeschooling providing the best paradigm to be able to execute that. So find your own why and keep it handy. I recommend writing it out, making it something that is memorizable for you and for your kids. Make sure your kids know why you're doing this as well. But keep that written out and staring at you in the face on those days that you may not feel like continuing. So that's kind of the vision outlook part of how to approach a second semester to keep going strong for the second semester. But there are also some practical things that you can do that may help bust through the malaise you may be feeling about now. So here are 5 potential changes that you can think through and see if any of them might help in your situation to bring just even a modicum of excitement to your second semester. So 1 is a change of place. So we all have our routine when it comes to where and when we homeschool. And for me, all the one-on-one teaching takes place at my desk in the family room. And the kids end up doing their independent work, usually in their rooms or on a couch or something. But anytime school involves me, it's done at my desk. But on one of those second semester mornings back many years ago, when I just wasn't feeling it, I returned to my bed with my second cup of coffee in hand and my fuzzy socks, and I called all my elementary age kids into my room and announced we would be having a marathon science catch-up session. Because, yes, we were very behind in science, which I do as a multi-grade subject in elementary school using the Elementary Apologia series. So everyone, there was 4 at the time, so 4 of the 4 elementary age kids came into my room, still in their pajamas with fuzzy blankets or robes draped around them, and they all clambered onto my bed, nestled under the covers with their science books and notebooks in hand. And we read aloud with the able-to-read kids taking a turn and me tackling larger chunks and the younger ones coloring in their science notebooks and answering questions after each section. We covered a significant chunk of science that day, but I also crossed off several days worth of reading lesson plans as well. After all, what's the point of reading but to read and be able to answer and discuss comprehension questions? And that's exactly what we did, covering 2 subjects for the price of 1, all while enjoying the comfort of my bed and the change of place. I thought that was just going to be a one-day thing because I was just having an off day, but for days and weeks after, my kids asked if we could do science in my bed again. Like, it became one of the fun school days if I actually said yes, where we could just hang out in my bed and catch up on a subject. And I continued to use that time to count for two subjects whenever we'd have days like that. But just it added a little bit of excitement for them. And their excitement, of course, bled onto me. So that's a change of place. Two is a change of pattern. So it sounds silly, but sometimes just changing up the order in which you do things or the order of kids in which you homeschool can bring some newness to your day. So I usually start with the youngest student and work my way up. Depending on the child, I guess I fall into an unintended rut with the order of subjects that we complete together. And sometimes the rut is so subtle, I don't even realize we're in a rut. But when I sat down one day with my second grader and pulled out math first, he about died. We never do math first. I'm like, we don't? So then I pulled out all the subjects that we do together and I told him to set the order for the day. And his excitement over that small, totally insignificant thing changed his whole attitude, which of course then changed my attitude for that day. So if something that small can make a difference, find other ways to change up the routine or pattern of your day. Any added excitement in your students will be infectious and help bust through your own funk. Number three, a change in perspective. Now, I admit I'm at a bit of an advantage here. I've already graduated 7 of my kids from homeschooling, and I have the benefit of seeing them out there in the real world and seeing how the whole homeschooling thing academically worked out for them. And it turns out, hope you're sitting down, those last chapters I skipped in history and science in 5th grade is not significantly hindering anyone's ability to be successful both in college and in their careers. And the 3-year journey, not exaggerating, that it took to get through Algebra 1 with one of the kids has not stopped her from returning to college after many years in the workforce, enabling her not only to support herself but find fulfillment in her calling. And the half-finished Daily Grams books, in more years than I care to admit, did not prevent valedictorian college status for others. In other words, not every year has to be perfect. Not every book has to be finished. Not every lesson plan has to be completed. Particularly in the elementary years, it's okay to be flexible. You have so much time to work with and so much life to live and so many memories to make and so many un-lesson planned lessons to teach. Just take a step back and remind yourself that life is much bigger than the scope and sequence. I am not advocating for a second-rate education. Those of you who know me know we have pretty high expectations and academic standards for our kids. I am, however, saying do not sacrifice your relationship with your kids at the altar of getting through the books. As homeschoolers, it's often a fine line that we don't see that we've crossed until they're older and gone and it's too late. Try to get that perspective now. Number four, a change in priorities. Sometimes the answer is as simple as no. There is a tendency in many homeschool moms to overcommit themselves and then find themselves truly in a position where they simply don't have time to homeschool their children. It's pretty gradual, usually, that happens. You say yes to a few things here and there, and so you don't see it coming until you wake up one morning feeling completely and totally stressed. You cannot homeschool if you're never home, nor can you homeschool if you're volunteering your time to too many other projects and activities. Homeschooling does take time, and when I find myself in these doldrum seasons, I can easily and blissfully devote my time to any and everything but the thing I most want to ignore. So here's where a recommitment to your priorities is essential. Do what you dread most first, and then give yourself permission to do everything else. More than ever, that principle applies to the second semester. If I just mentally tell myself that school has to be done before I do anything else, before I respond to any emails, before I clean anything, before I make that phone call or respond to that text, it motivates me to just do it and get it done. Giving someone else permission to hold you accountable is even more helpful. But within that homeschool first priority, you may also want to give yourself a break and focus only on the essentials for a couple months. At the beginning of the school year, I tend to go wild with my expectations and excitement over new resources and curriculum helps. And by the second semester, pretty much consistently over the 29 years, I'm just back to the basics, which varies according to grade level. But if you started the year with an exciting new supplemental resource, your new priority may be to set it aside for a while. or even forever. Focus on the important things, do those first, and then decide how you really want or need to spend the rest of the day. And then finally, a change in posture. And by posture, I'm not talking about how straight you stand up. I'm talking about the disposition or attitude that you show your kids when it comes to homeschooling. And this hardest suggestion is probably the most important. Parents, if you are negative, frustrated, and undisciplined with homeschooling, your children will be as well. You cannot expect them to carry on and complete schoolwork with great attitudes if you're not modeling the same. So enter another family alliteration in our house, the three F's, feelings follow form. My husband introduced this concept in our family many years ago, and it's been a theme of ours ever since. And basically what it means, the intent behind it, is that we don't always feel like doing the things we're supposed to do, but we do them because we must, whether it's out of obedience, submission, necessity, prudence, or whatever. But it's through the process of doing that our attitudes begin to change. Don't wait till you feel like enthusiastically homeschool your kids. Just do it. Model the attitude you want for your kids and pray for a change of heart. And in time, the feelings will come. But in the meantime, you're teaching your kids what it's like to do things even when we don't feel like doing it. How do you expect or want them to approach their chores or schoolwork when they don't feel like it? Show them what that looks like. So those are the five potential areas of change for you to think through in your own situation. And if you didn't notice, of course, it's another alliteration. It's a change in place, pattern, perspective, priority, and posture. Hopefully one of those or something else will be helpful in encouraging you to finish the second semester with gusto. And now for the Heritage Happenings portion of the show. Moms, have you signed up for Bunko Night? Tuesday, February 7th at 7 o'clock at Del Cerro Baptist Church, we will be having another Moms Bunko Night, which is a great night of fun and fellowship and is such an easy way to meet new people. I really hope that you will make an effort to come out and join us for that. It's so much fun. It's stupidly competitive, and it's just a great time of fellowship. The link to sign up for that is in the newsletter and or the website. Also, the second semester grade entering party is happening in the office on Wednesday, February 8th. You can stop by anytime between 10 and 3 and sit down with someone on staff to get help entering those grades. As a reminder, grades are due by the 9th and late fees start incurring after that. So be sure and get those entered before February 9th. There is an open house for the Escondido Class Day on Thursday, February 9th. If you have friends in North County, or if you are in that area and you're interested in seeing whether or not that campus might be a good fit for your family next year, contact the Escondido Class Day. You can reach them through our website and let them know that you'll be there. There's also a couple of other things happening throughout the month of February. We are hiring independently contracted teachers for both of our academies. That's the Junior Academy, which is grades K through 6, and the HCS Academy, which is grades 7 through 12. That information may be found on the website. Also, for the month of February, we are accepting board nominations. Information about the nominating process may be found in the newsletter, but you have the whole month to submit names of potential board members. Be sure to keep your eye on the newsletter for all details about everything else going on here at HCS. As always, if you need any help or have any questions, please give the office a call. We would love to hear from you. Have a great week, everyone.